believe and receive. Believe and receive. So, this is a very important subject, very important for us to understand. Believe and receive. Come with me then to Hebrews 11, verse 1. What does it mean to believe? What is faith? The Bible gives us the answer. Now, faith can be viewed as a commodity. In the same way that other things are a commodity, faith can be viewed as a commodity. With faith, you can get things. With commodities, you can get things. Faith allows us to get things. Faith, the Bible teaches, is a receiver. Hebrews 11, 1 says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. Now, in the original Greek text, the word substance there can mean title deed. The word substance there in the Greek means title deed for a promise or a piece of property. It means that, now listen, it means that the claim is legitimate. The claim is a legitimate claim because it's under a legal standing. Faith in the Bible's words, therefore, as promises for your life, is guaranteed under the new covenant created by Jesus Christ for believers. You see, what happened at the cross was the shedding of blood. The Hebrew idiom for covenant is to cut a covenant. You cut the covenant. The covenant was cut. It's a legal thing. It's a legal thing that happened. These days, legal things are written in ink. They're written with ink. They're typed on the computer. They're printed in ink. But this is the strongest of all types of covenants. It's in blood. It's a blood covenant by Jesus Christ. The new covenant. It's the new covenant. I find today many Christians live with the old covenant. They're living with an old covenant mentality. They're living in the old covenant ways, old covenant type thinking. Friends, we're in the new covenant. It was cut and established by his blood. It's a strong covenant. This is very powerful. But when people live in the old covenant, they don't receive the promises of the new covenant. Believe and receive. So it's about having belief in the authority of this new covenant, what's been established. Faith, in other words, is grasping then hope and bringing that hope into the realm of reality. It grows, this faith, through an understanding and belief in the reality of the Bible, the truth of Holy Scripture. And this happens how? By study. By study and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings authority, conviction, power to these words. But our part in that is to study the Word. Now, the Bible text that we've just read, it says, it describes faith as the evidence of things not seen. So, for example, you may have a need in an area. You may have a need, let's say, for finances. And you hope for those finances that you have a need for. But if real faith is present, it gives total assurance that you will have the money when you need it. You know that the finances will be there. Faith is a reality. It works just as the Bible teaches it will. Faith in God is in reality faith then in His Word. So allow the Word of God to have authority in your life. Most people don't do that. Most people live with feelings. Oh, I just feel. They're feelings driven. They're led by their feelings. The New Testament teaches us that we are to be led by faith, not by our feelings. Feelings, being led by feelings, is being led by the flesh. And feelings are a roller coaster. Oh, I feel good. The sun's out, I feel great. It's a happy day. The sun's out, I feel nice. Great. Well, yes, we feel nice because the sun's out. We all do. We all enjoy it. But we're not led by our feelings. We're led by faith. I won't let the fact whether the sun is shining or not affect my attitude. I'm led by. We've got to be led by faith, the Bible teaches. Is this making sense so far? So, let faith direct you rather than your own limited experiences or understanding. Let faith direct you. I can't let faith direct you. You have to let faith direct yourselves. But let faith direct you rather than your own limited experience or understanding. The many miracles that I have witnessed, including physical healings, have happened by faith. Faith takes belief in the Word of God as authoritative over past experiences or limited human understanding. It was cut by His blood, this new covenant. So, for example, when I studied on the journey of faith, I've received in all sorts of areas, really. Finances, had no money. I found out that, God can help in that area. How? By exercising faith. Faith is a commodity. What I find most people do is they moan and complain, whine and whinge, and say, well, it's okay for you to say you didn't. Well, no, it's not okay for me to say, because there was a time when I didn't have enough money to eat food. But you see, faith changes the circumstances of life. Faith interferes with the reality of life. For example, let's take a simple example. One time we were in Canada, and we had appointments after appointments. This day was a busy day, about 4 appointments. And I think at the end of it, we had a flight to catch. So there's 4 appointments. Well, of course, it was January. And it was minus 20 degrees outside. And we were in this one place for about 3 hours. And we'd left the lights on. We'd left the lights on in the car. Notice I say we. And so Micah goes back into the car to drive to the next appointment. Nothing. She turns the key. It's dead. It's just flat as a pancake. The batteries will go flat quickly in those small little cars when it's minus 20 degrees and the lights are on for 3 hours. It was just dead. Well, what are you going to do? You've got another appointment. It's the other side of town. There's a, what do you do? You just, well, you can employ the commodity of faith. Because faith overpowers the circumstances of life. Someone says you don't have the money to do it. Faith says, no, I have no limits. I have no limitations in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have no limits at all. And certainly a flat battery is not a limitation. Well, it doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. The carnal mind says, well, you need to phone up the AA or whoever it is, AAA over there. But faith says, no, take charge. Employ the supernatural aspect of this new covenant, which says that you can speak to mountains. So Jesus says that if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You can speak to it and move it. Well, it doesn't make sense in the natural. So what happens is the natural mind, the carnal mind, is waging a war against that, saying, you can't do that, it's impossible. You can't affect it. What can you do? You can't, it's impossible. And what you have to do is realize, no, I'm not going to listen to my carnal mind. I'm going to listen to faith, that all things are possible. That's what I'm going to listen to. I'm going to employ faith now. And so you employ faith and you say, right, okay, well, what do we need? We need the battery to start. Well, by faith, we'll cause the battery to start. I said, Micah, just hold my hand. And I said, now then, battery, now you listen to me, battery. You listen to me now, and you get charged up now quickly in Jesus' name. Well, I mean, that's just crazy talk, isn't it? In the natural mind, you can't do that. You see, there is always a war going on with the natural mind, the fleshy natural mind, and the spiritual inner person. And we decide whether we will employ the spiritual person on the inside, the inner man, or whether we go with the flesh and the experiences that we have that are natural experiences. Well, when it's done in faith, when you just know that you have the authority and power to do that, I said, now turn the key and vroom, the thing starts up. Straight away, no problem. And we are on our way again, praising God. There's a little testimony there about how we can employ faith for everyday events. I've had lots of things like this happen with cars. You know, one time I was in the Welsh countryside with my parents in the car. My parents were in the back. I was driving. We pulled up at a building to look at this building I was considering buying. And we pulled up outside. I went in. We went in to have a look. Came out. Well, the car wouldn't start. But this time it was through no petrol. No petrol in the car. And my dad knew that it was no petrol. Now, this time it was fully on me. And so my dad said, there's no petrol in the car. And sure enough, I realized that I had forgot to put the petrol in. And what are you going to do? It was getting dark. We were in the middle of the Welsh countryside, a long way from anywhere. And so I thought, well, what do we do? Okay. I said, Mom, Dad, you won't perhaps understand this, but just go with me. I said, just trust me. I said, now, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for not being more diligent. I should have put petrol. I'm sorry, Lord. But now in the authority that I have, because I believe in the new covenant, you see, and I believe that I can move mountains. Do you believe you can move mountains?
Yes.
Well, then move some. And start off with small ones like this, perhaps. So I said, I'm sorry. And then I said, now, petrol tank. I don't know about the mechanics of a car. I don't need to know. Petrol tank, receive fuel. Car, you respond and start now in Jesus' holy name. Well, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross, was crucified. He took all of my sins on that cross. But on that cross, a great exchange took place. He made me the righteousness of God in this great exchange. So you see, I'm not a normal human being. I'm an ambassador of God. I'm someone who has been bought by his blood. That's how precious I am. That's how precious you are as a believer. You're so precious to God. He loves you so much. You're his child. And he has given you weapons. Amen. The great tragedy is so often people don't use them. People aren't even aware of them. People so often live by their feelings and emotions. So I turn the engine, the car starts. We drive many, many miles before we get to a garage. And my parents are amazed at what's happened, of course. And it was beautiful because a few weeks later, I was preaching in a church and my father responded and he put his hand up to receive Jesus as his savior. But you know, that day, he was so impacted because he knew that that car had no fuel in it. He knew that that was the case. And so to see a real miracle of God there really impacted him. He knew that this is impossible in the natural. He knew that something supernatural had happened. You see, very often, my friends, the supernatural is what we've been called for. We've been shaped by God to be supernatural beings. But everything around us in the world is operating on the natural realm. It's on the natural realm or it's in the realm of darkness, the supernatural realm of darkness. But we are the children of light if we're believers in Christ. And he's called us to operate in the supernatural realm of faith. And faith is a powerful weapon.
Amen.
It's a powerful thing. With faith, all things are possible. All things. So it's interesting to consider that out of all the attributes a person can have, the New Testament teaches that faith is the attribute that pleases God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So faith pleases God. It's a weapon for change in our lives. If you desire to reach your God-given potential, then you must be a person of faith. You must become a person of faith, operating in this realm, thinking along these lines. You see, there's been such a degrading in the church of Jesus Christ that this isn't so often talked about in the church of Jesus Christ. Sadly, it's a tragic thing. But this is normal Christianity. Normal Christianity, my friends, is supernatural Christianity. Normal Christianity is faith Christianity. That's what it is to be a real Christian, to operate in faith, to know that we have that mountain-moving potential to be his ambassadors on earth, to do the works that God has for us to do. The word Christ, it comes as it means the anointed one, an anointing that Christ has. Now, the word Christian means that we are followers of the anointed one. We are Christ's. We are Christ's. We are like him as he was when he walked on planet Earth. That's how we are to be as we walk on planet Earth, with that miracle, mountain-moving potential as a part of our everyday perspective in life. And this is why we have to be careful about what we say, what we speak. Jesus says we have to give an account for every idle word. Words aren't meant to be idle. What's an idle word? An idle word is a word that doesn't produce something. It's non-productive. We're told that we should have produce from the words that we speak. How can we have produce from the words that we speak? How does that work? Well, when you have faith, the words that you speak carry weight and they change things. Because when you speak, you can move the mountain. Notice it's not by thinking, it's by speaking. So let's be aware of these things. You know, John Wesley made a great insight. John Wesley made this insight that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith. Listen to this. Listen very carefully. This substitute for faith, he said, looks and sounds so much like faith that few people are able to tell the difference. Wesley called this substitute mental assent. There are many people who read the Bible, you see, and they agree with the Bible. They agree that it's true, but they agree only with their minds. The problem is that mental agreement isn't faith. It doesn't produce what faith produces. Rather than mental assent, it's heart faith that receives from God. Is this making sense? There's mental assent. Listen, how can you tell if you have mental assent? Well, if you have mental assent rather than faith, there's no produce. There's no power. You see, I've met people who talk a good talk, but there's no testimonies. I've met people with all the theory in the world, no testimonies. When there's authenticity, there's testimonies. There has to be testimonies. The Church of Jesus Christ always has testimonies. Things that we point to. Jesus summarizes this very well. Come with me, please, to Mark 11. Let's go to Mark 11 and verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23, it says this: For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Jesus' words. Jesus' teaching is very clear on this matter. And he goes on, he says, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And so what I started off with as we started looking at this was believe and receive. And I could add, doubt and go without. Believe and receive. The Lord wants us to believe. Because what happens when we believe, you see, we get encouraged. When we get encouraged, we start to enter into the Word more. When we start to enter into the Word more, we get more encouraged. And faith grows and it starts to develop and grow and we start to see testimonies, evidence there. Beautiful things take place. The ground around us starts to change. Shall I say it like that? The ground around us is shaped now. It's changing. You see? One time, let's picture, you know, that there's faith manifesting in someone. And now they're speaking to this area around here. It's changing as they're operating in faith. Maybe it's barren like a desert land all around. Oh, but it's not going to stay barren for long because there's a person of faith there. This person of faith has the God potential in them. They start to use it and things start to change. Mountains are moved. Instead of it being like a barren land, let's say, it becomes like a beautiful garden. It's been spoken out. In the beginning, how did God manifest this world and the universe? He spoke it out. He spoke it out. And so our words carry tremendous potential. God is calling us to be people who are exact and precise in the way that we live, not sloppy. We live in a day, my friends, where everything is so sloppy. People don't care for the... They're so sloppy. They don't care about things. There's no precision. But God is very precise. People throw away words. They just throw away things. They say things and you know... This world is filled with idle words. How can you tell then whether someone has faith or mental assent? As I've said, real faith always produces. The person with faith knows that they have received what they're after. It's theirs. In order to get to that place, you have to take the step of believing. Often people want to experience something in the senses realm before they believe. But a person can believe it because the Bible says it, outside of the sense realm. And if someone does that, faith will produce it. If someone has real faith, it will produce. Notice that Jesus' teaching says that the receiving comes after the believing. What sort of things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It's the believing part that must come first. The believing comes first. You say, well, it doesn't make sense, though. How can you believe it doesn't? You show me believing, and then I'll see it. If I can see it, I'll believe it. If I can see it, then I'm going to believe it. But that's the wrong way around. That's not the Christian way. It's not Jesus' way. Jesus says, no, you believe first, and then you receive. But why is it like that? Well, it's an operation of faith then. If it wasn't that way, it wouldn't be faith. And God wants us to operate in faith. Why? Well, faith pleases him. That's enough. The Bible says it. That's enough. You know, I've seen so many things take place, you know, at times and situations where things were desperate. But you need to stand firm on what the Bible teaches about healing, for example. And faith turned those situations around, my friends. But if I was to become a feelings-orientated person, I mean, it would be very easy to be doubtful or look at the natural evidence. I would not have experienced the glorious power of God to heal. You know, there was a man who came here for the first service that we had here. And I think it was probably 7 years ago now that his wife phoned me up. He was the previous pastor of the church in Winstanley. And 7 years ago, his wife phoned up and she said, we've got terrible news. She was on the phone crying. Look, terrible news. He's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He's only got a few months left to live. He's on the strongest morphine patches. He's in agony. It's awful. It's awful. What can I do? Well, what do you say to a lady on the phone who's picture yourself in that position? What would you say? Come on, think about it. What would you say? What would you say? Pray. Yeah? Yes, yeah. Pray, yeah. Well, you know, the Bible says that we should go and heal the sick. Go and heal them. How do you do that? By faith. And actually, it's not going to God and praying for God to do it. God's word tells me to do it. Go and heal the sick. It's part of the gospel. How do you do it? Well, I certainly don't have the power to do it. But God has deputized me. I'm an ambassador of God. And so God says, if I lay hands and in Jesus' name, now it's in the name of Jesus, so it's Jesus who's doing it. Don't misunderstand, it's Jesus who's doing it. It's in Jesus' name. It's Jesus' power. But it's instead of going to God, you see, prayer can be a cop-out at times. So I'll pray, and hopefully that ends the conversation. Like, well, what else are you going to say? Let's be honest. But what God tells us to do is go and heal the sick. That's a responsibility that he's given believers. So I say, come down to the church on Sunday. Come down to the church and bring him to the church. And I sent some Bible scriptures to them on healing so that they would have those scriptures. I said, read those scriptures on healing. Have those in your mind. Have the Word of God and what the Word of God is teaching about healing in the focus of your mind. And they came to the service there, and we were in the middle of worship, and the Lord says, bring him to the front now. And he came to the front, and a prayer was ministered to him in Jesus' name. Let me get it right. No, we were on the platform worshiping. The Lord spoke and said, right, let's now do it. Step down to here, invited him forward, and then ministered healing in Jesus' name. There was prayer after for the family and for the wife. But the ministry that took place was a ministry to heal him in Jesus' name. Now then, his testimony is this, and it's been featured in newspaper articles, that he left the church that day pain-free. He came in on the strongest morphine patches. What had happened? Someone had responded in obedience to what the Word teaches. The Word says, go and heal the sick. He's authorized us to do it because we're his followers. We've been deputized. If you like, we have a badge on us as ambassadors. And so he says, now go and do it. And it's not, oh, Heavenly Father, would you possibly, could you? No, his will is revealed in his word. And he says, go and heal the sick. And so as we yield to him, that's what happened that day in faith. Now, yes, look, there's a time where people leave this planet. They leave their bodies, and we understand that. But in this particular case, this person was going to be robbed too soon. They came to the service that we had here a few weeks ago just because they love us. And they love what's happened because he's still preaching. He's healed. It's a miracle of God. Amen. And he's healed and he's still preaching the gospel. And it's all to God's glory. But you see, this is the difference between believing what the word says and not believing what the word says. It's a matter of life and death at times. It's very important that we understand these teachings. How does faith get activated? Faith gets activated. Well, let's turn to Romans 10. In Romans 10, and we're coming close to the close of this morning's teaching here, but we're going to go into further detail tonight as we study the scriptures this evening. How does faith get activated? So then faith, it says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the word hear, for word of God, it's the rhema of God. And that's the Lord speaking his dynamic, living word to someone. So what happens is the gospel is preached, or the Bible is taught, and faith is being initiated inside of you. You hear my voice, but you're hearing the voice of the Lord, the Rhema of God. The Word of God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, yes, get this. Can you get this? Hey, listen, remember that. Remember that. Don't forget that bit. Hey, that's a bit. Now, you make a note of it even. Make a note of it. Remember that bit. Look, this will serve you well. You see, God knows that in 3 years and 2 days, you may well need it. Or in 1 month, you may need it. Or in 10 years, you may need it. But God is saying, look, take it on board now. Take it on board now. Take it on board now. It could be tomorrow. You may need it this afternoon. You may need it 1,000 times in the next 5 years. And once you take it on board, then you can use it. But it's the rhema, it's the spoken. Faith comes by basically God speaking into our hearts. It's God speaking. You hear a natural voice, but it's God speaking. He's speaking his word into our hearts. And when God does that and we allow that a place to settle inside of us, everything changes. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, God has given you there a commodity that you can use. So you'll never be without a commodity in your life. Whatever you face, wherever you go, faith will be a great commodity. It'll help you in every circumstance of life. I'm so happy that I was able to take this on board and walk not so much by feelings, but by circumstances. And of course, we're learning every day to do this. And we've got a lot to learn.
Amen.
But we're learning to walk more and more by faith, not on feelings. The emotional realm will take you, it'll lead you on a terrible journey, very unproductive. But faith, this God kind of faith, will lead you into adventures, great adventures in the kingdom.
Amen.
You see, the enemy wants to trap you so that you're limited, a limited perspective, a limited mindset, be limited. But God is trying to get you into the unlimited realm. God's trying to get you into the realm where all things are possible. Where someone says to you, you can't do that, you say, oh, really? You don't know the God that I know. When someone says to you, you'll never do it, you can't, you just don't have. No, you don't know me. You don't realize that I'm a child of the living God and all things are possible for me. All things are possible for me. And you may look at me and you may think that I'm very limited now. I'm not going to be limited. Oh, no, because I serve the living God and there's no limits with him. And he has told me in his word that I can speak to mountains and I can move those mountains. And I will be a mountain-moving Christian. I will believe and receive, and I will not be a person that doubts and goes without. I'm going to receive from God. I'm going to believe what his word says. I'm going to receive victory. I'm going to receive healing. I'm going to receive all the things that God has for me in my life, that I can do what he's called me to do and be what he's called me to be. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, that's what God says about you. And what I would say is this. Listen, please accept it. Take it on board and live it. Because there's adventures of faith right there for you. And he loves you very much. Praise his glorious name.
Amen.
Pastor Beverly, please lead us now as we celebrate and sing together. I'm going to be at the front. You